Support for WMNF comes from listeners like you and Winter Pride St. Pete, a game-changing celebration for our city and community. With 11 events over 8 days and over 50,000 participants, happening in St. Pete on February 15th to the 22nd, 2026. More information at winterpridestpete.com.
Support for WMNF comes from listeners like you and tampabaygay.com, providing information on local events, businesses, entertainment, and community resources for the LGBTQ plus community online at tampabaygay.com.
The views expressed on the Big Gay Radio Show may not necessarily reflect the views of the Nathan B. Stubblefield Foundation or those of the staff or management of WMNF Tampa. Listener discretion is advised. Your weekly dose of queerness, culture, and community starts now. Live from the 88.5 studios in Tampa, it's the Big Gay Radio Show.
Welcome to the Big Gay Radio Show. My name is Chris Gorman. I'm your show twink here, joined by Vin Swasian.
Hi.
And the electric Esme Russell.
Hello, everybody.
How are you today, Miss Trans Queen of Radio?
I'm doing very good. I was thinking when you said twink, I kept thinking, you still look like one, but I'm thinking, how long do you think you're going to have that look?
So I don't know how long I'm going to have the look, but I know that twink death generally occurs at around 26. So, you know, once I'm no longer on my parents' insurance, then I'm no longer a twink.
I don't know.
So this year might be the death of a twink.
No, I think you should hold on to at least 30.
It's the death of a show twink.
Because you got a baby face.
He does have a baby face. I was looking at him in the car driving. Chris looks really young.
Yeah.
Especially with like when he has his haircut right now. He looks super young when he's like not
old. You look fresh.
Sometimes his hair grows out. He looks a little bit more crazier. But right now he looks like really young.
Sometimes I enter my hippie era.
Yeah, I know, but you look super young, Chris. Which is, listen.
You still look like a baby.
Listen, it's not a bad thing. I only thing I worry about, Chris, is the fact that he does get a lot of sun and he has great skin. And I worry that if you don't take care of your skin and avoid those sunburns, you're not going to have Esme skin when you get to my age.
No, I'm
just letting you. I was not a sun worshiper, and that's the reason why I'm not wrinkled. Because that sun... She'll eat you up.
It really depends on the day. I'm not necessarily always out in the sun, but that boat was a lot of fun when I got it.
I know for a while I thought you were trying to be a black girl. I really did. You would come in here and I'd say, you're getting a little dark now, which is not a bad thing to be a black girl.
I was trying to go into Ariana Grande era, you know?
I'm like, we're going to have to get you some different hair and...
I get that.
You know?
Anyways, me aside. We're joined by a very special guest. We are joined by Art Smith, the creator of Gape Archives. Welcome into the studio.
Thank you so much, Chris. I'm thrilled to be here.
We are so glad to have you. So I'm very curious about what is Gape Archives?
So Gape Archives is a project that started out of a... reminiscing conversation with a bar owner in Atlanta years ago, about 6 years ago. And I posted something about it on Facebook, and it kind of took on a life of its own. Friends and acquaintances started commenting, oh yeah, I used to go to Backstreet, but then I remember this bar. And it occurred to me that we have kind of abandoned the history of our gay bars. We talk about the riots, we talk about the activists, we talk about the politicians, but the bars got kind of swept under the carpet. And so I said, I'm going to start researching this. And then boom, COVID hit. And suddenly there was a lot more time because you weren't socializing. And I really dove into it. And as of now, my Facebook group has 18,000 members, and I've cataloged over 5,500 gay bar logos from around the world.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
I've done hundreds of hours of video interviews for my YouTube channel with people talking about their bar history, and I've met hundreds of gay bar owners who love to tell me what's going on in their world.
That's amazing. And, you know, it's a very needed thing because these places are major hubs for communities. And I couldn't tell you the amount of times where, you know, I felt a little lost and I felt like I was, you know, not, you know, sure about where I was going in this world. And then I would go to a gay bar and like I would have this great conversation with somebody who felt a little bit more, you know, genuine and more actually like caring about everything. So I'm glad that you're actually documenting the history of these places.
So this generation, Chris's generation, especially now they're very young.
Oh God,
Ben also is very young.
Are you calling us old?
Well, no, but they just don't. They don't really understand. They can't even begin to comprehend that when we came out, we were completely disconnected. There was no internet. There was no someone to call on a phone. There were no resources. There were no organizations. There was no way to... The only place we had was the gay bar. That was our resource. That is where you would go to connect with other people that were like-minded and flourish from there. That's how we discovered ourselves, was there.
Absolutely.
My whole persona as Esme was born there, created by gay men, because there weren't even a lot of drag queens at that time. So I couldn't even like watch a RuPaul Drag Race. The only drag queen I knew, I've often said it on the radio, is Bugs Bunny. Flip Wilson, too.
Yeah.
Remember Flip Wilson?
I do.
I remember Flip Wilson doing that character, Geraldine.
Uh-huh.
And I remember thinking, men can dress up as women? Is that even possible? So yeah, this generation is lucky. They can literally right now stay home and they have a whole drag world, a whole gay world right from the TikTok. Just without turning on a TV. All they need is their phone.
So I think that also leads to a whole other set of problems and a whole other disconnect.
Well, sure.
Because there's those individuals who go. It's a lot more comparison culture.
Yeah.
So there's individuals who go ahead, and I know imposter syndrome is a huge thing, especially among younger drag performers, because they see individuals who are on TikTok and they might get blown up a little bit faster, or they might get some more bookings that they other performers. Performers might not be able to get. So it's a whole other slew of problems. But honestly, at the end of the day, it all centralizes at gay bars. And so having the history and documenting all the history of both the past and the present is such a needed thing. So Art, thank you so much for what you're doing.
Oh, you're welcome. And one thing that I wanted to add on about what Esme was saying is that, yes, back in the day, the gay bars were important for us individually, for community, but they are also where the seeds were planted for all of these organizations that we take for granted.
Oh, yeah.
So like Florida Equality would never have happened if it hadn't been a bar scene. A lot of these other organizations, GLAAD, it never would have taken on the power it did. Any of the political organizations that fight for our rights, they would not have existed if the bars weren't there to support them and to draw in the crowds. So they did have a very strong historic importance. In fact, our whole Pride generation came out of Stonewall and other bar riots.
I was just about to say, literally, one of the main, protests is named after a bar. And that's why we need to go ahead and continue to preserve that history.
I remember a time when bars were packed every night.
Me too.
I remember the 80s, you could go on a Monday night right here in Tampa to Renee's. Mm-hmm. It would be, which no longer exists, it would be packed wall to wall, standing room only. I remember standing in line on a Monday to get into that club. This was years and years. This went on for years.
Yes.
Until we went into the 90s. Once the computer age started, once the computer showed up, that's when everything started slowing down. Now on a Monday night, most clubs are empty.
So, I tell people all the time, and when I've done interviews and things, that I used to go out 8 days a week.
Me too.
It didn't matter.
I feel the same way.
If it was a school night, a work night, whatever it was. But like, for instance, another example of that is one of the most iconic bars that ever existed in Ybor City was $5. And you could tip the bartender and get
trashed. Watch for pricing. You can't talk about pricing.
Oops.
But anyway, yeah.
It was ancient history.
Yeah, ancient history, yeah.
But yeah, you could get trash for cheap,
yeah. No, it's
and it was packed.
Yeah.
And on Tuesday.
Jam-packed. I used to work back in those days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Every night that I worked at Ogoya, packed.
So I kind of want to ask you a little bit about, you know, the struggles that you've had with the history aspect of it, because I would assume that, you know, with the, you know, HIV AIDS crisis, there's a lot of history that got lost. Can you go ahead and talk about, you know, how you've kind of managed around, you know, trying to find that history that may have been lost?
Do you mean that it got lost because the people that were involved that could tell the stories have passed away?
Pretty much, yeah.
There's enough survivors, I think, that that can tell some of those stories. And also, you have to remember, around that same time is when the gay community was starting to get a voice. Not necessarily a good voice, but it was getting coverage. So you'll see a lot of articles start to emerge in the late 80s especially that talk about different gay bar locations and things like that, because they were trying to say, hey, this is a den of iniquity. This is not a place you should be. This is where the AIDS crisis is, you know, blossoming. And they would mention the bars by name. So you would start to see some acknowledgement of the bars at that time. But there are a lot of people, including Esme and myself, who were around through that and have survived and have very fond memories of it. So we were happy to tell those stories.
It was a lot funner then. And I thought it was more fun.
It was.
Well, I thought because I knew that I could run into everybody at the bar. Like now, if I go work like on a Friday night or Saturday night, whenever I work, I'm not going to run into everybody. Yeah. Everybody back in those days.
Everybody went out all the
time. Everybody went out all the time. I knew that if I hadn't seen Chris in a while, I knew what clubs he hung out at.
Yeah.
If he wasn't at Renee's, he was at El Goya. He might have been at the Cherokee. He might have been at Carousel. Remember the Carousel? He would have been, but I knew I could find him somewhere, right? Now it's like you got to call him on the phone.
Absolutely.
If you got his number, you know, sometimes we lose people for months. We don't know where they're at.
Well, and you have to remember, too, back then, unlike today, Chris, back then, I might want to call Esme, and I have her phone number, and I call. But at that particular moment, she's not at her house. She's somewhere else, and she doesn't have an answering machine because they don't exist yet.
Yeah.
So you might try 6 or 8 or 10 times to reach that person. Now, in 3 seconds, I can pick up my phone and reach somebody in Alaska.
It's why people my age always say, I hate that I'm so accessible. Because remember a time when we weren't. Because I have people that tell me, girl, I know you're by, they'll text me if they can't reach me. Girl, I know you got that phone in your hand because you always have that phone. That makes me so mad when they say that. Because maybe I just don't want to talk.
So I've...
Right, the capacity, brain capacity.
I've stopped talking to people and like responding really quickly for that exact reason. Yes, I have my phone on me, but it is, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, I don't take it personal. If I call you and you don't answer, I don't get mad. I go, he's busy.
Oh, I can never ignore your call.
No, but Esme, I just think you're busy.
When I see your face pop up on my phone, it gives me a heart attack. I'm so like, what in the hell is this lady calling me about?
That's how I feel when you call me, Chris. When you call me, I'm like, something's happening.
A lot of the time, I mean, most of the time I'm calling you with a cool opportunity. So I hope that that's not the case, you know?
I don't know why my brain goes there. I think it's because my brain just, like, you're still like baby bro in my brain. So
oh,
I don't know.
Oh, well, you know, chances are, you know, if I'm calling you from jail, it's going to be an unknown number, not my cell phone. Anyways, Art, so when I'm thinking about, you know, the future of, you know, Gay Bar Archives, what do you go ahead and think about that? You know, because I really, you know, love the fact that you're continuing to highlight these bars. Is there going to be a part where you like stop? Is there a part where you feel mission accomplished? Like, what is the future?
I have been asked this question before. And the short answer to that is I will probably stop about 5 to 7 years after I die. Because there is so much out there. It just amazes me how many more people come out of the woodwork. Just last week on our Facebook group, we added over 400 new members in 1 week.
Oh, wow.
So there's still people out there who are discovering us, who have stories to tell. And it's still relevant because I have, for instance, I had one friend of mine. He's become a close friend of mine who is involved in the LGBT ambassador world for a national vodka brand. And he mentioned to me that during COVID, he was kind of depressed because he didn't get to go to the bars. Mm. And that his saving grace was that one of the South Florida show bars was putting up videos of drag performances on the web. And when he would watch those, he felt like he was back in his element. He was back with the bar. He was enjoying going out and socializing. And that's what helped him get through the COVID thing when he couldn't go out. And I've heard a lot of stories about people who really appreciate after COVID and that they suddenly can go out and see somebody face to face, touch them, talk to them, hug them. It's totally different than being on Grindr or being, you know, in a chat room or something. You're actually getting to be there in person. So I think the bars still have a very important role, and people, younger people, are starting to realize it more after that COVID scare.
Oh yeah.
So I connect bars differently from gay men have a different relationship with the bar than I do. So my entire life I've seen the bar as my work. You know what I'm saying? Even when I'm not working, I'm working. I'm working because, you know, I'm an entertainer. That's what I do. So it's just like I have a different relationship. So gay men, they go to bars like to drink and socialize and hang out with their friends, right? Sometimes look for a boyfriend, your future ex-husband?
Right.
That's what they say. I like when they say that. I'm here to find my future ex-husband.
I used to have a t-shirt back in the day that said, looking for my next ex-lover.
Yeah, but it's weird. Like a drag queen has a different relationship with the bar. You know, like for me, it's work.
And I think it's also because of the fact that you have been performing in drag for so long. If I remember your story correctly, you didn't really have that period before you started doing drag.
No.
You were always in the gay bar doing drag.
So I went to the bars for like maybe like a month as a boy. I was like 15 years old, 14 years old. I was sneaking in. Back in those days, you could do that, right? You can't do that anymore. I know. And then my drag mother was the one that told me, you can't come in here dressed like that. You got to dress up like a woman or you got to dress up. Because I was kind of an androgynous drag. And that's how I ended up starting to live as a woman. Yeah. And I loved it. And I've never gone back. And I never regret one day making the decision to live as a woman. That's, you know, I have regrets in my life. One of them is not that. That's definitely not a regret at all.
That's it. It's crazy to think about, you know, COVID, because when I think of COVID, I was 20 years old when COVID hit. So I never had that that pre-COVID life that a lot of people, you know, talk about. And when I was in COVID, a lot of the time, you know, I would feel a little bit of FOMO. I'd feel like, you know, oh, there's never going to be a time where I have a community like these people have in, like, you know, the stories of prior gay bars. And then when COVID happened, you know, I fell in love with bars like Cocktail and Enigma and the bars over in St. Pete and Bradley's when I started working there. And, you know, so I'm glad that you highlighted the fact that the younger generation is waking up, because it is so true. We are realizing that the community is within the gay bars, within these individual establishments. So, Vin, we've got about 6 minutes. Do you have any questions for Art?
I don't have questions. I have a lot of appreciation for Art. So Art and I have known each other from when, like, even before I started HRT, actually. He knew me from 2012, 2013, yeah, something like that. And that was when up in Atlanta, Marietta, Georgia, there was this hole-in-the-wall bar called La Buzz, and they did this, and this was the birth of Mr. Vinsuasion. This was like back when I went by Asian Persuasion or something.
This is your origin story?
Oh my gosh, it was awful. This was like back in my hooligan days, you know? And there was a competition. It was a 4-month-long competition called Project Drag King. And it was every week, every Thursday night. There was like a challenge that we had to do. And it was like mentally and physically rigorous for me. And I ended up winning that competition, which is where the madness came of like Mr. Vinsuasion being birthed as an entertainer. But Art and Dick have been documenting and have always had a camera in their hands every time I saw them. And I'm very grateful to still be connected with you after all of this time. I'm very grateful for that.
Well, thank you. I'm sure Dick is listening.
Dick, I love you.
Dick Wolfley from Channel 125. he recorded, documented a lot of the performances at La Buzz and other places. And so we probably have some of Vin's vintage footage somewhere that we might have to, you know, bribe.
We should pull that. I have no shame.
I love that. Well, thank you again. We're going to continue to talk with you after the break, but I first want to go ahead and make sure to give a special shout out. If you didn't hear last week, it was announced that WMNF's Big Gay Bingo is back. It's going to be at Cocktail St. Pete, March 9th at 8 p.m. It's $10 for 10 tickets. It's all benefiting WMNF Community Radio and the Big Gay Radio Show. It's just after our fun drive. So it's going to push us over that nice little goal that we've got going for us. So I'm really excited to go ahead and see everybody there. I think it's going to be a good time. Esme, what are we going to go ahead and talk about on the way back?
So the Trump administration files a motion that involves the Epstein files. I'll tell you what that's all about. Fashion designer, very famous fashion designer, passed away this past weekend. Dolly Parton reaches a milestone in her life. I'll tell you what that is. And Kelly Clarkson, she made some news this week.
I heard about that.
It's not happy news. I'll tell you what that is when we get back.
Yeah, we also got, you know, Dylan Mulvaney making her Broadway debut. We're going to talk about that. And we got all that and more coming up after the news. But first, we're going to go ahead and throw it over to Claire Leeson from Project No Labels for our Big Gay News. Then over to Mr. Vin Swasian from Emerge New Growth for our community calendar. We'll be right back.
I'm Claire Leeson from Project No Labels, and this is your LGBTQ plus news from around the country and right here in Tampa Bay. In Pinellas County, from Watermark Out News, Zero Suicide Partners of Pinellas marked the first anniversary of its Gender Sexuality Alliance on January 14th, just ahead of launching a new LGBTQ plus social later this month. Zero Suicide Partners of Pinellas is led by the Suncoast Center, which has served the community since 1944, and brings together more than 35 organizations and agencies working towards suicide prevention across the country. According to Suncoast Center Family Social Wellness Coordinator, Adia Sagner, the GSA grew out of the workshop and was formed in response to Florida's so-called Don't Say Gay or Trans law, which threatened GSAs in schools. Their upcoming LGBTQ plus workshop, scheduled for January 24th at Allendale United Methodist Church, will include a continental breakfast and guided conversation around advocacy, safety, public policy, and mental wellness, led by Jessica Kushners of NAMI, Pinellas, and Aunt Avila of Equality Florida. Also from Watermark in Tallahassee, Equality Florida is hosting Pride at the Capitol between January 20th and January 28th, calling the legislative session the 60 most dangerous days of the year for LGBTQ plus Floridians. Pride at the Capitol has expanded this year after more than 400 advocates participated in 2025. Week one includes training sessions, meetings with lawmakers, and a family-focused press conference. Advocates will return for week two with additional trainings, bill briefings, and the Let Us Live March, which centers transgender voices. In LGBTQIA+ youth news from the Associated Press, the Trevor Project received a $45 million donation from philanthropist Mackenzie Scott, the largest gift in the organization's history. The funding comes after a difficult year marked by layoffs and the loss of $25 million in federal funding when the Trump administration eliminated specialized LGBTQ plus support within the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Please remember to stay safe and treat yourself and others with kindness. This has been your LGBTQ plus news for the Big Gay Radio Show. I'm Claire Leeson on 88.5 WMNF Tampa.
Hey, this is Mr. Vin Swasian from Emerge New Growth Community, Project No Labels Pasco, and Bonita Springs Pride, and this is your Big Gay Community Calendar. On Tuesday, January 20th at 6 p.m., PFLAG Riverview in Pride of Tampa welcome award-winning journalist and author Nico Lang for a conversation around their book, American Teenager, highlighting stories of trans youth and community support. The event takes place at 1920 Ybor City with a book signing scheduled after the discussion. On Wednesday, January 21st from 6 to 8 p.m., the Tampa Bay LGBT Chamber and Watermark Out News present an after-hours networking gathering hosted by The Wet Spot at Cocktail St. Pete, benefiting Winter Pride St. Pete. It's at 2355 Central Avenue in St. Petersburg. On Sunday, January 25th, catch Queer Comedy Queens at the Funny Bone. Doors open at 2:45 p.m. and the show starts at 4 p.m. This long-running comedy showcase features a lineup including Bear Webb, Poppy Champlin, and Rachel Covello. And on Saturday, January 31st, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., United Mural Fest takes over studios at 5663, a one-day celebration launching a community mural project with local artists, plus vendors and music and food on site. More information is on the studios at 5663's Facebook page. That's your community calendar. I'm Mr. Vince Wajan on behalf of Emerge New Growth Community, Project No Labels Pasco, and Bonita Springs Pride. Stay kind, loving, and open to all possibilities. Make a wonderful week.
Hey, this is Latrice Royale from RuPaul's Drag Race, and you're listening to the Big Gay Radio Show on 88.5 WMNF.
Welcome back to the Big Gay Radio Show. My name is Chris Gorman. I'm your show twink here for six more months, joined by Vin Swasian and Esme Russell.
Stop with that silliness.
What the heck?
Stop with that.
What a thing to say.
I'm like, what?
Twink's death is among us.
He's put all of us at the edge of our seats.
Right? I mean, like, you and I both lean forward. Like, what?
Twunk after that.
Yes, I'll be a show twunk.
Ridiculous.
That caught me completely off guard.
I was not ready.
Well, we're also joined by Art Smith from Gabe Archives. Welcome into the studio.
Thank you. It's been fun so far.
And glad to have you. Glad to have you. Well, yes, Death of the Show Twink. You know, the new album's coming out in 6 months.
Death of the Show. What is it?
Death of a Show Twink.
Death of a Show Twink.
Well, Miss Esme Russell, what's the tea? What's going on?
So we're
going
to start with not positive news, but not so dark. There's so much dark news, right?
Yes.
So Kelly Clarkson is planning on ending her talk show. You know, her talk show is really, really popular, which I find really weird. The ratings are doing very good, but the producers of the show behind the scenes are saying that it's just not sustainable anymore. So I don't know what they mean by that. Some of the producers are saying that they're not ready to call it quits yet, while others are saying it is. So there's a conflict behind the scenes, but I think it's going to be left up to her. And if it is being left up to her, Kelly doesn't need the money. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
No.
She does not need the money.
If she did, she just goes touring.
Yeah, she doesn't need the money. And I think she really wants to focus on her kids. After the death of her husband, she didn't have enough time off. And I feel like she really needs to be with her children. And that's, it's not her actual husband. It was her ex-husband. But still, that's the father of her children. So I think she's conflicted about, I will say this about Kelly. Since we're talking about her, is there anything that woman cannot sing?
Oh, absolutely not. She has such a great voice. And
she's incredible.
So she'll do anything. She'll do a song that I'll go, girl.
She sings it better than
as
her.
As soon as the song starts, I start rolling my eyes. I've stopped doing that, by the way. Because now I know, I don't care if it's rap. I don't care if it's slow jam. I don't care if it's fast. I don't care if it's rock. Whitney, she can do anybody. And the great thing about her is that she always makes every song her own. She doesn't try to imitate who she's singing.
That is what I think I really respect. She did Kendrick.
Yeah,
and it was just so good. It was so good.
Everything she does, it's like she should make an entire album on those throwbacks that she does.
I agree.
Like a whole album on songs of other people's music, because every time she does a song, I'll go, oh my God, I cannot believe.
I'm just glad that it's not a situation where it's another Ellen DeGeneres, and at least yet, where it's come out that she has a toxic work environment, and then now she's going to go ahead and have to peddle some anti-aging cream.
You're so funny. Every time I see Ellen trying to sell that cream, I think myself, girl, when are you going to start using it?
Oh, God.
Girl, exactly. Her wife is gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
Her wife is just sexy, beautiful.
I don't know
beautiful.
Who her hairstylist is, and before that shoot. But, oh my God.
But I'm like, look, well, she says, I use it on my neck. I say, girl, I would not be selling a cream.
I wouldn't be saying that.
You use it on your neck, and then I'm looking at your neck going, oh, no, you don't. Girl, put a turtleneck on. And no, girl, be quiet. No, girl. You know, the thing about selling products like that is if you say you use it, you want to make sure that if your skin, you know, it's like
right.
You're selling hair products. And
Anna Kendrick goes out and starts peddling some skincare. Like, I would absolutely be like, yes, girl.
Yeah.
But Ellen DeGeneres is not the person that I think about when
I come to skincare. So you're bald as an eagle and you're going to celebrate, you're going to sell hair care products? It doesn't make any sense. It's not that Ellen is ugly person, but she looks like she's a little weathered.
Marketing is a thing.
Marketing is a thing. That's why when you see the skincare cream, usually it's someone that's not old, but it's not young either, because they want someone that still looks like the cream is working on them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but anyway, so hopefully Kelly doesn't leave so soon, but if she does, I understand. I believe that if she does, it'll be because of her kids.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, she has a great relationship with her former mother-in-law. You know, her former mother-in-law is Reba McEntire.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she, even after they divorced, Reba and her stayed very, very close. Reba's good people. Okay.
So all right, let's go to the next topic.
Yeah. So fashion designer Valentino dies at 93 years of age.
R.I.P.
So I know, right? So I think that Christian Siriano, the designer Christian Siriano, for those of you that are familiar, is our modern day Valentino.
I agree.
He has that Valentino flair, the beautiful colors, the designs of Christian's clothes are very Valentino-ish.
Yes, the influence and the flair.
Yeah, very French, like a very French look, yeah. Great designer, legendary gay designer, by the way. If you own a Valentino and you are a heterosexual woman, you are wearing one of the most famous gay designers in history is Valentino. Mm-hmm.
So there's this little kid that's on TikTok, and I'm trying to look up the name, but I don't think I have enough data for it. But he is trying to be like a fashion designer. And
the young kid?
The little kid, that little boy. I don't remember what his name is, but he goes ahead and he's been designing fashion for like runways and all these different like major places. He's only like 8 or 9 years old.
Max Alexander.
And I think that he probably is going to be the next generation's, you know, version of that. But honestly, you know, he was in his 90s and, you know,
Valentino lived a long time.
And he lived a long, so he good
got,
life.
So he got his start in design a little bit late in life. He was in his early 30s. He got his start by being on the set of Cleopatra. He was the assistant of the creator of the person that was designing the clothes for the movie Cleopatra with Elizabeth Taylor. Him and Elizabeth Taylor hit it off. And she said, well, what do you do besides, you know, help backstage and dressing rooms? He goes, I'm a fashion designer, but I can't get a break. She goes, you're going to start making my clothes.
And that's where it started. That's where it exploded. Gwyneth Paltrow also was a woman that like, really loved her.
Audrey Hepburn. He's designed for everybody. Yeah. But Elizabeth Taylor was the one. You know, Elizabeth Taylor always, you could always link her with the gay community. She's always linked. She's always been, while she was alive, she was always a bridge, especially during the AIDS epidemic. She was one of the first famous people to create a bridge between the gay community and the heterosexual community that AIDS was not a gay disease as it was being said at that time. And Elizabeth Taylor was great about that. So anyway.
Well, I want to go ahead and give a special shout out. Patricia from Making Connections, the show before us, she is thanking us for the laughs on the way back and that we were on point about Ellen. So shout out to Patricia.
Thanks, Patricia.
I mean, I like Ellen. I mean, I'm not anti-Ellen. I just use that cream.
After
sis.
The allegations, I became a little bit more skeptical. But now all I can judge her for is the crap hair and the skin issues.
And Chris, let me tell you this about Ellen. And every single person that has been interviewed that worked on that set, on that show, there isn't one person I have yet to, if that person exists, I've never seen them, that says something positive about her.
Well, let's run it back to another topic.
That's rough.
They said it was pretty toxic back there. Okay, so Dolly Parton turns 80 years old.
Yes. We still have her.
So, Art, I kind of want to jump you into this conversation. Do you have any specific Dolly Parton memories that, you know, comes to mind?
Actually, I do. And it's kind of funny because I was in college back in the 70s in Nashville. And, of course, that's where Dolly's primary residence was. That's before Dollywood. And we had a concert on campus for Stella, Dolly's sister. And Stella was doing this
I thought you were talking about the alcohol.
No.
No, Stella Parton. They come from big family.
And she was doing a concert on campus, and Dolly showed up and to support her sister. And just like so many of the other country stars that I've met in Nashville, she was so genuinely nice. At that time, she hadn't quite hit the, you know, stratosphere. She was still on the way up, but she was so genuinely nice and very friendly and lovable, huggable. And she has maintained that to this day. One of the interviews I did a while back was with an artist who was telling stories about his gay bar memories. And he was commissioned by Dolly to do a butterfly mural, gigantic painting for over her sofa.
Oh, wow.
In the same way, she just approached him and said, I love your work. I, you know, bought a piece before, but I want a special piece for me. And she's just a real down-to-earth person. Yeah. She's always got
that vibe, though. So cool.
So in Tennessee, Dolly Parton, January the 19th, which is her birthday, is now officially forevermore Dolly Parton Day.
As it should be.
Love that.
Yeah. So the governor approved it. The mayor approved it. So it's a done deal.
You know how hard it is to be that old and not have any scandals?
No scandals.
Like, she has really gone ahead and been that legendary performer.
She's a good person.
Very much so.
She is a really good person.
That's all it takes, y'all. Just be a good person.
She made no appearances on the day of her birthday. She hasn't made any appearances for months now. They say that it's kidney stones and that her doctor told her that she needed absolute home bed rest, no working, no nothing. So she has been working from home, they say, but she hasn't been making any public appearances. But wherever you are, Dolly Parton, the gay community I know loves you.
We love you so much.
I know the straight community loves you. I know Latinos love you. Black people love you. Brown people, everybody loves Dolly.
Something I love about her is that she's already got a plan for after she dies. She knows exactly what she wants. Yeah. She has a song that she's going to release afterwards that, will be, you know, as far as, you know, the interviews have gone ahead and said. So,
one of my favorite lines from her was an interview where they asked her, well, what political party do you connect with? Are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? What is your opinion about, I forgot what president, I think it was Bush. They were asking about Bush. She goes, listen, don't try to trick me. I'm an old girl. I've been doing this a long time. Don't try to trick me. I do have an opinion. I have an opinion on everything. I'm just not going to give you my opinion. People don't come to see me to hear my opinion. They come to see me to hear me sing.
I know that's right. So we actually got a comment that's actually a really good point. Patrick went ahead and asked, what about confirmation bias? If somebody said something neutral or nice about working with Ellen, would it be noticed? And I think not. I think that's a very good point, Patrick, because there's that whole aspect of media that sort of latched on to the toxic workplace allegations. You know, I don't think that, you know, if a news article were to come out, it would gain as much traction as those allegations did. So honestly, that's a really good point. I kind of want to go around the room and see what your guys' perspective would be, because it very much does matter about whether or not it goes on social media, whether or not it trends. So, Vin, I want your perspective first.
Cancel culture is so real now, you know? And the struggle of, like, if someone makes a mistake and then gets to recover from it is nearly impossible now. So if there were good news to come out of, like, good relationship, I don't think that it would help surface. I don't think it would, because the media looks for, and the media is hungry for drama and good things.
I mean, so are we. We go ahead and talk drama all the time every week.
Right.
So I think that she, if it was one person or two people, but it's so many, it's her joke writers. By the way, she doesn't write her own material, which is very interesting. Most stand-up comedians, they write their own material. They use a little bit of outside help here and there, but most of them, they write their own material. She does not write any of her material. Right. Everything is written by other people.
So the level of the willingness to say them, even after knowing you haven't written them, like, there's an intelligence that has to happen there, you know?
Yeah. Listen, I just don't think she's evil. I think that she might have just got, you know, when I was a young kid, I remember I had a drag mentor, Rene Rodriguez from Rene's Club. He used to tell me, Esmeralda, you're real pretty and you're real talented, but don't start believing your own publicity.
Right.
That's going to be your downfall in this career.
I agree.
And it stuck with me that you can get so big and famous, you think, oh, well, nobody can get me.
There's invincibility.
You know
that
what
happens.
I mean? And that may have happened where I don't think she's an evil person. I think she just got caught up in all that craziness. And she started mistreating some people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And all you need to do is mistreat a few people and it'll start a spiral. Then everybody starts coming out of the woodwork.
I know for a fact that if there were people out there that will go ahead and have said, you know, I don't treat, you know, certain individuals right. And, you know, it happens. You know, it does happen. Not everybody can be nice 100% of the time.
No.
It doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It just means that, you know, you're human. And so I hope that, you know, Ellen goes ahead and continues her success in her skincare line.
I take into account that she
better
does
use it first, though.
That part. I do take into account that her humor comes from a different generation, right?
Yeah.
I take that into account. But there's a growing that gets to happen there. So, like, Ellen, if you're listening to this, we love you. And, you know, we're here for your space
of
healing.
She ain't listening. She's counting her bands.
Well, hey, best case scenario, she is listening, Chris.
Kathy Griffin likes to talk bad about her in a playful way. And the other day, Kathy Griffin said, yeah, she's not listening to me when I bash her. I talk about her like a dog all the time. And she doesn't listen to any of my podcasts or anything. But I know the gays are listening. And I know that she has gays in her team. And I know somebody's telling her what I said.
That's enough.
She says, because them gays can't keep quiet.
Well, let's jump into a different topic.
Oh, my gosh. So, listen, same-sex marriage, same-sex attraction and same-sex behavior is being observed in dozens and dozens of primate species, suggesting that it's an evolutionary and natural process. Scientists, look, those of us that are born either gay or transgender, we kind of knew that.
Hello.
I mean, so silly.
It's a sign, they're saying it's a sign of intelligence.
But it's like when people say, can you be straight? Well, no. Can you be gay?
Right.
I mean, it's just a crazy question.
It's 59 non-human primate species, and they also observed repeated occurrences in the behavior of 23 different species.
Yeah, so that's it. But you see it in the what about the gay? Everybody calls them gay penguins. I don't think the penguins know they're gay. I mean,
I think what they're just saying about that is that those particular penguins have paired up in the same way a heterosexual couple would pair up.
Correct.
So they've taken each other as life partners.
Correct.
But we are the ones labeling them gay.
Right. I mean, they're not. They don't speak English. So
yeah,
exactly.
So, they're just doing something that's very natural for them.
But the thing is, it's true of everything. We as people didn't consider ourselves gay, the gay community, until somebody put a label on it.
Correct, because I remember liking boys when I was in first grade.
Right.
And I didn't know that I was gay.
I didn't even know what gay was.
And I didn't know I was trans, really, until I got to be around 13 or 14, and I went, wait a minute, I'm not gay, I'm transgender. And, but that was an evolution within my own mind as
right.
I figured myself out. So
right.
I just discovery. Think it's cool that animals can do that as well, that they pair up in that way, and that it's not just unique to human beings.
And a lot of them are exclusively gay. There's, you know, a number of different animals they mentioned in that article that exclusively partner with same gender partners.
I know flamingos sometimes do. I know lions sometimes do, which I find lions the king of the jungle, right?
So I want to go ahead and make sure to give a special shout out. A person in the text messages is a little bit unhappy about the fact that we're uplifting Dolly as opposed to Aretha Franklin. And I just want to go ahead and make sure to give a special shout out to Aretha Franklin.
Was it her birthday as well?
No, whose birthday is March 25th.
But Aretha Franklin is not alive.
So I do want to go ahead and make sure to give a special shout out. And I want to go ahead and assure everybody that we will make sure to shout out Aretha Franklin on her birthday as well.
On her heavenly birthday.
On her heavenly birthday.
Okay, yes, yes.
But at this current point in time, it was Dolly's 80th birthday.
It was her 80th birthday. And she's alive.
We're not neglecting Aretha.
We're not neglecting anybody.
We're
I was just focusing on
Dolly.
But for that matter, I could say that I should be offended because you didn't mention me.
Is
in that article. No, it's March 28th. It's a few days after Aretha's. So,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I love Aretha's music. Let me just go there. I am an Aretha Franklin fan.
I need me a pink Cadillac.
Her music, you know. Aretha was, you know, her life itself and her music was legendary.
Now we have to do a special.
Yeah. We'll do a special show just for Aretha.
Yeah, I mean, it's March 25th is still 2 months away.
Yeah. But anyway.
Anyways, let's go into a different topic.
So let me tell you, the Florida House, this is the kind of stuff that happens here in Florida that makes no sense to me. When I read it, just saying it, I would want somebody to hear it and go, well, that sounds really stupid. Because it really is, in my opinion. This is just my opinion. But Florida House passes a bill to lower the age of purchasing a long gun. Those are those big guns.
Rifles.
The one used in Parkland.
Yes, the ones they used in Parkland, to 18 years of age.
Ridiculous.
Which is reversing what was previously passed after the Parkland shooting.
So
this was a direct response to the Parkland shooting.
Correct.
And I believe it's 10 years later, because I think it was February 2016, if I got my remember correctly, that they went ahead and did... I stutter because honestly, I got really shook up when the shooting happened, and like it really did mess me up to the point where I stopped going to school because I didn't think that the schools were going to protect me.
Right.
And
I'm so sorry.
It really bothers me that we would go ahead and do something. How many other shootings since that has there been in terms of these mass shootings committed in high schools? And it wasn't necessarily, you know, eliminated, but I guarantee you some mass shooting has been stopped because of this law when it was, you know, 21 years
old.
Well,
I'm thinking, I'm just trying to imagine, and everyone in here is older than 18, so imagine what you were like at 18. I was still a kid at 18. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought I was an adult when I was 18, but I really wasn't. I mean... You don't. It's not that we make bad decisions. It's that we're not always the most logical decisions. You're 18, and that's okay that you're 18 and that you do a few dumb things. But I don't want to arm you with a gun. You know what I'm saying? So if you get mad and you and I have some silly fight, and then you decide, well, I'm going to go find Esme and just shoot her up today, because you're 18 and you're not thinking clearly. Your brain isn't even fully developed at 18. Can we at least use science as part of the process of determining when somebody can carry a weapon of that magnitude that could kill so many people?
Well, the people that are wanting this to follow through are using history as a validation. They're using history in the space of like, we needed to collect younger men to go into war and we handed them guns at the age of lower than 18, 14 or 15. That's what they're using to validate this. I want to make clear that we are not in a time where guns are necessary for 14 and 15 year olds. We're not at a time where guns are necessary for people at the age of 18. We're not at a time where guns are, we're not at a time where guns are necessary to fix the problem. Guns, being handed a gun when you can't have conversation to problem solve is a legitimate problem. Like, that's a real thing. We should not be handing, that's not something that we should like free and willy-nilly hand. They're meant to protect us.
Well, and what really bothers me, and I had to take a deep breath after, you know, going ahead and stuttering through my last statement.
I get crazy about this.
It really bothers me that these individuals will go ahead and say it's a mental health issue. It's not a gun issue. So why aren't we taking the science in the fact that at 18 years old, you are not mentally developed as much as you are if
Correct.
You're 25 years old.
Or Correct. 21.
So, or 21.
Your frontal lobe is not fully developed until you're like between 21 and 25 years.
If you're going to go ahead and say, you know, it is a mental health issue, we need to start actually taking into consideration the different aspects of mental health in this. And it's not, you know, just the aspect of therapy.
So I'll tell you, our generation, we didn't grow up hiding under desks.
No.
So these kids.
Well, except for air raid sirens.
I'm talking about Chris. And Ben, they did grow up hiding under desks. Had having drills for a mass shooter.
Oh yeah, we had
you
bomb
and I,
drills.
As
in,
you
in
know,
school.
We do not know what that is. So when Chris is talking, I can see the pain in his eyes. Because you imagine you're 6 and 7 years old and you're doing drills to hide under your desk or in a closet from a shooter. You're telling children, don't answer the door, don't do this, do that. And I'm thinking to myself, what is going on?
In the same time, you know, every year showing, you know, 9/11, because that was a regular thing. And even when I was very young,
yeah,
it was a very scary, you know, I was very much woken up into like the real world when I was very young. And it's not a good thing. It really isn't. And that's why I really feel like, you know, if we want to place blame on things, then let's actually address what you're blaming. We actually need to address the mental health issues. We can't just go ahead and be like, oh, it's Second Amendment, you know. Screw the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. If somebody is insane and incapable of making decisions sensibly, they shouldn't have the ability to kill another human being. I'm sorry. I hope that that's not a controversial thing, but crazy people should not have the ability to kill people.
I can't check out, let me get this right. I can't check out Charlotte's Web at a school that has been banned. Charlotte's Web, the reason they banned it is because the animals in the story talk, okay? But I can, at 18 years of age, if they pass this bill, have a long gun.
Yes, but you cannot have a beer with that long gun. Because you're 18 and you can't drink till you're 21.
You
don't need a concealed weapons license. You don't need to have that gun registered to your name.
It's like we're in an altered reality, you know? It's just, oh, man.
I really want to go ahead and make sure to, you know, highlight the fact that, you know, there were, you know, duck and cover drills back in the day, but those were like the Cold War drills with the air raids and everything like that.
Yeah, that was back in the early 60s. I never went through any of that.
Yeah.
My generation didn't go through that.
Yeah.
So whoever's saying that, I grew up in the 60s and 70s in school. We didn't do drills hiding underneath the... So the last time we did drills for kids for hiding for the cold drills was in the early 60s during when Kennedy was fighting with Cuba. Remember all that?
When you think about the Cold War duck and cover drills, you think about foreign entities going ahead and bombing domestic territories.
That's correct.
When I think about these mass shooting drills, I think about the students that I went to school with, that I was classmates with, that I could be potentially friends with. The people that I was in that exact room doing those drills with could have been a mass shooter.
Yeah.
And it very well could have. There were people that I thought were not mentally sane and needed to get mental health treatment.
We got to do better, people.
I never thought we'd ever get to the point of having backpacks that are bulletproof.
I really
bulletproof
wish
backpacks.
I never thought that was like ever going to be a thing.
We got to do
like,
better,
that's not
folks.
Something we ever imagined.
We just got to do better.
This is why I really appreciate the Dear Self, You're Worth It program from Project No Labels. Like, that allows people to be able to go and get high quality mental health support and then get put on a lower sliding scale. So, like, I really appreciate the organizations that are out here really doing their best to provide mental health support at a low cost scale, at a free scale, like people that are willing to actually.
And there's so many out there that are helping. Like, we just had Harmony Health on. Mm-hmm. There are so many resources out there that, you know, need to have investment and need to be supported.
You're right. And communities that are willing to be able to create that safety. Like, Emerge New Growth Community creates a safety space. So I'm really grateful that there are organizations that are willing to step out there and, like, be a light in this time of, like, finding community that is safe. So.
Well, I want to go ahead and say thank you for everybody who reached out via email or text message. I want to make sure to go ahead and give a special shout out. I am planning on making one of these episodes a big gay call-in episode, so be on the lookout for that, where you can go ahead and call us in the station, ask us questions, talk to a real trans person. Get all the information. Know
a
the
real
tea.
Trans person.
A real trans person.
What are those scary transgenders? Oh,
so, I want to go ahead and once again give you a special shout out for Gay Barchives. Where can people find more information about Gay Barchives?
So we have everything we do on social media, by the way, is all under Gay Barchives. So if you do a Google search for Gay Barchives, or for hashtag Gabe Archives, everything will pull up. We have a YouTube channel. We have a Facebook group with 18,000 members. We have a website, GabeArchives.com. We're on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, everywhere. And we're always posting about what's going on in the gay bar world and what used to go on in the gay bar world when Esme and I were just children.
Little kids, yeah.
Well, thank you again for your support. Esme, 40 seconds. What can you expect on the after show at 5 p.m. on Spotify and Apple Podcasts?
We're going to be talking about Greenland. That's in the news. Trump gets his Nobel Peace Prize, finally. I'll tell you how he got it. U.S. citizens are being asked to do something, and that's all of us. I'll tell you what that is, and it's very, very serious. Hope you watch us, and also I'll talk about Zootopia. I'll talk about Avatar and a few other things.
Well, we got all that and more coming up on the Big Gay After Show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts at 5 p.m. And if you haven't heard so already, you are loved, you are appreciated, and we thank you so much for your support of the Big Gay Radio Show. Bye.
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 This has been the Big Gay Radio Show on 88.5 WMNF Tampa. Remember to stay kind and prideful, Tampa Bay.